Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Niche Podcast about the one thing I know something about, game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Jordan Haas. This is a double build episode. Why are we doing two game shows in one episode? Great question. Mostly so I don't have to do two episodes and make two separate things and do some. Also, because I don't know much about either of these shows. So it's really good to just put the two together, have it about 45 minutes, and then call it a day, don't you think? So this is another one of those classic game show fights. Don't forget the lyrics and the singing bee. Both of these came out in around 2007. So they were seen as kind of one's a ripoff of the other, which is the better show, because they both involve figuring out lyrics to songs. So we're going to talk about both of those shows tonight, as well as coming up with the question, which one do I enjoy more? And I'm not going to name names here, but I'm just going to say it's lopsided. It's really lopsided. It's a tough decision. But as I was doing the research, they are doing Don't Forget the Lyrics again on Fox. Niecy Nash is going to be the new host, and I don't know anything about it. Maybe they're giving away $1 million. I don't know. So I don't know where to start. Do I start with the singing bee? Do I start with Don't Forget the Lyrics? Which one sounds good to me? The theme song you heard was from Don't Forget the Lyrics. So maybe I'll do Don't Forget the Lyrics first, and then do the singing bee, and then the final judgment on both. So first things first, we will do Don't Forget the Lyrics. Don't Forget the Lyrics is a game show on Fox. It aired in 2007, and then it was kind of in that same wheelhouse. They put a syndicated run with Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, and now there's a reboot coming soon to Fox with Niecy Nash. So the idea was that this was a sister show to American Idol, I mean to a fifth grader, because what happened was American Idol's success led to Fifth Grader getting picked up because Mark Burnett had a quiz show idea. This game show seemed good, but it was a half hour. Is there a way that we can have a new half hour game show, stretch it out to an hour, so there's a whole game show block on a Fox? So lo and behold, here is Don't Forget the Lyrics. So this became a singing show that could be paired with American Idol, or it could be paired with Fifth Grader, because they're both relatively the same in their structure and format. The rules are simple. Don't forget the lyrics. That's it. So this is basically somewhat like Fifth Grader and somewhat like a singing show. So there's a contestant, they're brought on stage, Wayne Brady's the host. Wayne Brady, who at the time did not have Let's Make a Deal. This was pretty much his first game show outing. So Wayne Brady was a host for Don't Forget the Lyrics. I think that he was trying to recapture his image because of Chappelle's Show and Wayne Brady Bitch and all that good stuff. So what we saw is this game show that's all about not singing things well, but singing them right, which is also what they said for the singing bee, but more on that later. The game is simple. A contestant's brought on stage. It looks like a little arena. There's a little jukebox and then a whole live band. The live band is played by Ricky Miner. Ricky Miner was the band manager of American Idol, and I will just spoil afterwards, Ricky Miner became the band leader for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno on his second reincarnation after Kevin Eubanks left. It became Ricky Miner and The Tonight Show band. So, hey, you know, there's even a Tonight Show reference in this. Did you ever think that was going to happen? Well, that's something there. Don't forget the lyrics. Contestant has to figure out different lyrics through different songs. If they can name 11 songs, they win. It's 10 songs. They win $1 million. My bad. I said 11. It's in like fifth grade. No, it's 10. So the first correct answer is worth $2,500, which I will say rare in a world of game shows. Because most of the time, the first thing's for $1,000. That's always been the case on a lot of these crappy-ass game shows. The first thing's for $1,000. Minute to win it. First thing's for $1,000. when it's something like the toss up puzzle on Wheel of Fortune. First toss up's $1,000. The cube, first game's for $1,000. There, it's always like lodged in that the first question on fifth graders has to be for $1,000. Here it's $2,500. Then $5,000, then $10,000. But unlike other game shows where it freezes at level 5, level 4, it's for $25,000, and that's when it freezes. 5 is at $50,000, then $100,000. Level 7, it's doubled to $200,000. But level 8, it becomes $350,000. And then song 9 is for $500,000. And then becomes the final song for $1,000,000. So there will be 9 categories, and these are all categories that are genres of music. So 80s, R&B, love songs, disco, TV themes, 1990s, 2000s, rap, country music, you name it, it's like a genre. Pop, punk, like all anything that could have been a genre of music or a categorization would be used. And then the contestant will pick one of those categories to play for a certain level. Within that category are 2 songs that fit the description in the game. So you pick 80s, Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love. Or you can pick Madonna with Vogue. I think Vogue was in the 80s, right? I think so. Material Girl was. So we'll say Material Girl by Madonna, or you can play with Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love. Which one do you want to play for $2,500? The contestant makes their decision. And then in the early levels, it's played for a little bit of missing words. So 3 missing words, 4 missing words, 5 missing words. And then later on, it grows to 7 words, 8 words, 9 words, or 10 missing words. So there is easy, medium, and then difficult at the end. And it starts out really simple. So I think we will just do like a little practice run here and load up a karaoke version of Power of Love. We'll do Power of Love. So we need to find 5 missing words. Here it is. Take it away. Karaoke thing posing as Ricky Minor. Yeah. Woo! All right. Here comes the on-screen display board. Let's see the question. The Power of Love. Curious thing. Make one man weep, make another man sing. Change a heart to a little light dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love. Yeah, we're doing good. Tougher than diamonds, whips like cream. Stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream. Make a good one bad, a wrong right. Power of love will keep you home at night. Don't take money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. Strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of love. All right. You have currently, that's the power of love. That's 5 words. Now you can lock in those lyrics or you can use a backup. There are 3 backups, as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, you can have 1 backup singer. One of your friends can come on stage and sing the song and help you out in figuring out the lyrics. We have 2 words. You can put any 2 words, and they'll be the official lyrics in the song of your little heart, or 3 lines. We'll give you, make the song multiple choice, a 1 in 3 chance of having the correct words. It's up to you to determine which one you think fits. That's up to you. A, B, or C. It's easy as 1, 2, or 3. Oh, well, I don't know, Wayne. I think it's the power of love. So, I think that's five, and that's the power of love. It makes sense. I'm going to lock in those lyrics. And then we have dramatic lighting. And then if you're correct, you hear like a guitar strum, like a... And then we keep playing. Sometimes Wayne would mess with the contestants and only lock, like, reveal two words and go, are you sure that's the power of love? Are you sure it wasn't, it's the power of love? Are you sure? Let's see it and then cut to commercial because Fox game show circa 2000s. Yeah. You know, it's hard to find out that that's 13 years ago. It makes you feel really old. All right, so, it becomes a very dramatic thing, and it's a prize tree structure. The more you get right, the more you go up. If you don't know and you're not confident in the words in your song, you can still walk away with the money. So you get to walk away during the song. You don't walk away, like, before knowing what the song is until the very end. So, after 9 songs have been completed and you get to $500,000, we get to the $1 million song. The $1 million song is a number one hit. It is a hit that hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, and it fits in one of the 9 pre-existing categories. You don't know which one it is. You just know it's a number one song. If you play for it and you're right, you win $1 million. If you're wrong, you drop to $100,000. So it becomes a decision point. And that's what makes the game very fun. And it's stressful and they sing the songs. The last half of Don't Forget the Lyrics Longevity was celebrities. So they had Bret Michaels and the Backstreet Boys. The REO Speedboat Wagon guy, and it just became just celebrities singing songs for charity, and that's fine and all, but I'm always, when it comes to celebrities or civilians, I'm always pick civilians over celebrity any day, even if it's for charity. So I was kind of I near the end, as much as I love Don't Forget the Lyrics because of its ability to have play along. Because everyone assumes they know what that one song is, there was an issue with the fact that it plays like Millionaire and Fifth Grader, where you have to be very dramatic and go, you know, you have 5 missing words, you have 8 missing words, and if someone doesn't know it, uh-oh. And it becomes a stressful moment. It's fine. Now... it was considered a hit. They had a board game adaptation. They had a phone app. A lot of people, when it's figure out the lyrics of songs, call their game Don't Forget the Lyrics with the backup singer 2 words and 3. It's usually omitted. No one has won $1 million in the history of Don't Forget the Lyrics. But you're in luck because they decided to do a spinoff for syndication with Mark McGrath. So what they did was you had 4 songs, and it was really cheap. First song was for $1,000, second $2,500, third $5,000, fourth $10,000. If they couldn't get the lyrics, they're not out of the game. They just keep playing. But the 5th song is the encore, which is a repeat of one of the 4 categories with a number one song. If they had $10,000, the 5th song would be worth $50,000. Anything else will be worth double. If they couldn't get to $5,000, they would get an MP3 player. If they were past $5,000, they would get $1,000. And thank you for playing. Also, this was with truncated songs that weren't the full legalized lyrics of Don't Forget the Lyrics, approved lyricists based on what was written in the lyric cards and the ASCAP rings of what is the qualified official lyrics to a song. It was essentially just the chorus and figure out the chorus. They might as well just call the show Don't Forget the Chorus. Also, because it was on syndication, they had less of a budget, which means a lot of repeated songs, which made the show even more bad. You would think with the entire history of music from the 1950s onward, with lyrics, you can get Elvis, you can get Aretha Franklin, you could get Bonnie Tyler. No, no, no. Let's just play the same theme song to the Addams Family for at least 5 episodes. That's what they decided to do. Because if it's TV themes, you get Addams Family or Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. That is the game show. I know. Now, other time, I mean, name that tune, it's really tough. You have to figure out music. This is the lyrics to a song, which is another form of thinking, because it's singing the song correctly. And I think that's more challenging than figuring out the music. It's the lyrics themselves, because of different prepositions and conjunctions, like is, ofs, thes, as, ands. Those are all considered a word. So a versus an, of versus the, it versus its, where versus who, and versus of, it becomes challenging in a mess. And most of the time, those are where the contestants falter on Don't Forget the Lyrics. Also on Singing Bee, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So Don't Forget the Lyrics, syndicated run, was a really trashy version of Don't Forget the Lyrics. I hated it, really hated it. It felt very cost effective and not fun. But the main Wayne Brady version, I had fun. I kind of said, like, well, if I was a contestant, I would pick the ones I don't know first. So that way, when we're playing for big money, or if I have a lack of backups, I would start picking a category I know something more about, like a rock or a pop. So that way, when a Pink song shows up, I can figure it out. If a Blink 182 song shows up, I'm there. But if it was like disco, I don't know. If it's country, I don't know. And that makes it even more fun. I think, obviously, this show could easily return. The last time it aired, Don't Forget the Lyrics, was back in around 2009 to 2011. The syndicated run, was 2011. I would say the main Fox one, which is the one I focus on, was 2009. It lasted 3 years, and it was it's a successful, fun show to watch and enjoy, considering at the time Fox kind of had things like The Moment of Truth and Fifth Grader. This was actually kind of a more successful, fun format of the three. It was one that was very creative because it was all about figuring out songs. And it started with China Grove as the theme song. So you knew you were in for fun and a vibrant. And it was an instrumental version. So some people would be going, whoa, whoa, China Grove. And it's like, yeah, that's how you know you have a hit song. When people know it's a theme song to something else, or they sing the lyrics. It clearly followed the Fifth Grader logic of, we're just going to throw shitloads of money for getting simple songs correct, but the pressure is on when it gets later on down the line, are they have the confidence to lock in the lyrics when there's so many words and things become more complicated, even though they sang it beautifully and it sounded like they were confident in the song. Can Wayne Bray talk them out of locking in the lyrics, or pressure him to lock in the lyrics knowing it's wrong and they lose money? That's what makes Don't Forget the Lyrics such an interesting format. Can this show be rebooted? Absolutely. Of all the game shows we usually talk about on this show, Don't Forget the Lyrics, in the later appeal of it, I think could work. Clearly Fox is picking it up with Niecy Nash. So there's no reason for me to say, yeah, it should, because it happens. Fox is on a major binge with guessing games and music shows. Have you noticed that? I Can See Your Voice, The Masked Singer, Crime Scene Kitchen, what was that one show they were pitching? The Masked Dancer, They're into singing and guessing games. Then there's Beat Shazam and Name That Tune, which are Name the Song games. So this is another singing show with a guessing element. And it's a big money game show. So it makes sense. Niecy Nash is the host. I don't know how she'll do. Probably be very funny and entertaining. It's this, the history of music has changed. Now, like 2009, I would think Imagine Dragons just kind of hit the airwaves. So you're getting to a later realm of music. Obviously, K-pop wasn't a big thing yet, so now I could expect a category devoted to BTS and someone singing the lyrics to Butter or Dynamite. We have a whole list of R&B now. Like DJ Khaled will probably have some influence now on some of this stuff. You're going to have someone sing All I Do Is Win, 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 No Matter What. And just have it like blow their load on this one song because they're going to lose. And that's going to be embarrassing and funny at the same time. So what happens it's a fascinating game show, and it's one that I always enjoy watching and playing along and trying to sing and go, oh, I love that song. How would I play? Oh, I would pick that song. I want to play that song. And I know I'm a terrible singer, so I would obviously be a worse casting pick for Don't Forget the Lyrics. Someone who's really shit at music and can't sing, but obviously will try hard to figure out lyrics. Bring it on. I guess I'm going to pick Ed Sheeran. Okay. Isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, drinking fast, and then we talk slow. You come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. I take my hand, stop, put the van on the jukebox, then we start to dance. Now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love was handmade for somebody like me. Now follow my lead, I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much, grab on my waist, put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead, come on now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you, we push and pull like a magnet do, although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Did they get the lyrics? So yeah, best of luck to Don't Forget the Lyrics. It seems like a very fun show. Obviously, a lot of play-along value. I don't know if I would do well. But depends on the song. Depends on what my mood is, if I can figure it out. And honestly, the big takeaway here is that you can make a big money game show out of practically anything. Don't Forget the Lyrics. It was a fun little show. But it always kind of fell under the radar. It felt like the celebrity editions were like the last grace. And I think that should have been the major red flag that when you see celebrity editions of game shows, that's the time to pull the plug. The second game show. Oh yeah. Wayne Bray is a good host. That's the other takeaway is Wayne Bray was a good host and always doing Let's Make a Deal. And he does a fantastic job on that. The Singing Bee. I don't have the theme song to The Singing Bee because there really wasn't a theme song to The Singing Bee. It was just like a pop song, kind of like that was similar because we start the song of a popular song. It was a game show that started on NBC. So this was NBC circa 2007, and they were still on a game show kick. With the success of Deal or No Deal and One Versus 100 and Identity and Amnesia, they had another attempt, and this was Singing Bee. So this is hosted by Joey Fatone. They also had a later version on CMT hosted by Melissa Peterman. Huh? This was a game show with Joey Fatone. Now, unlike Don't Forget the Lyrics, there really wasn't $1 million to give away. It was $50,000. And it was stretched out to an hour. It was originally half an hour. They decided to make it an hour-long game show after season two. So what happens is Joey Fatone starts singing a popular song that's the intro and runs into the crowd and almost like predetermined plans, put the microphone to some random members of the audience, like they are in poll of like The Price is Right. And if they can figure out the song lyrics, they get to go to the stage to play the singing bee. And if not, they have to take a seat, which normally is just people who can't sing and they don't know any better. So all the contestants are pre-selected. They basically look at a screen and read the lyrics. See, everyone's happy. They all love to sing songs. So then we go to round one. This game is played in four rounds, kind of like a funny little game show. So they would get maybe five or six people on stage. So what happens is the host then says a year a song was released, the performer then the name of the song. So for instance, 2000 NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. And then they would have a fun little group of performers sing a song. That's right, they had a performing group sing the song, not the contestants. So it ain't no lie, bye bye bye. You in the truth, you. Then they cut off the band and the performer. And then the singer has to finish the lyrics exactly as it was the next line to a song. If they were correct, they advance into round two. If they were wrong, however, they take a step back. And like a spelling bee, the next player in line gets to play the song. Once again, we'll go to like a few lines. And then, what's the lyrics? If they were correct, they advance in the next round. If they're incorrect, they take a step back. And the next in line sings the song to try and figure it out. If no one in line can figure out the song is thrown out and a new song is thrown in. Originally, it was four people. Then it became three. Yippee skippy. And that would become the game. Anyone who didn't have a chance to sing at all during this show, because they lost and didn't have an opportunity, would return to a future episode of the Singing Bee because, oops, we didn't get to use you. Anyway, commercial break, round two. It's now a mini game time. Winner of the game advanced to championship round. They play different mini games for points. Most points advance. Other times it's one and done games because they wanted this to be kind of like Price is Right and have a rotation. There's scrambled lyrics to play this game. The band was performing. Words from the next line were shown scrambled on screen. So the words were correct. They're just in out-of-place order. Contestant was required to sing the line in its correct order. When one contestant was correct and the other was wrong at any point, the one who was correct advances to championship round. On CMT version, it's for 5 points. That's in the wiki. Second is Karaoke Challenge, which was actually one of my favorites. To play the game while the band was performing, the contestant would see the words to the song in karaoke fashion. As the contestant sang the song, he or she would also see blanks, each representing a word in the song. The player who filled in the most blanks correctly out of 15 won in advance to the championship round. This is basically Don't Forget the Lyrics. So they see the lyrics and then blank, 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 and they would sing it. I love this round. This was my favorite part in Singing Bee. Because it made it feel like an actual challenge. And on the CMT version, it was a blank is worth 2 points, and there's 15 missing words, so whoever gets the most wins, and that becomes the game. Blind start. The band would play opening notes of a song. When the band stopped, the contestant had seen the opening line correctly. One of three contestants was eliminated from the second round. Because that's how we play the game. Playlist. To play the game, the three contestants were given six categories of songs, which had comical titles. Whoever took contestants had the most points after singing songs advanced to the next round. Singing with the Enemy. To play the game, band would play part of a song. First contestant had to do the next line. when the band stopped playing, and it goes back and forth. Yeah. All right, so now we'll get to the chorus showdown. Similar to round one, but instead of singing a line, it was to sing an entire chorus without mistakes from the song perform. If both were correct or incorrect, or after two rounds, then they would go to a tiebreaker where they were given the year and the performer. First to buzz in has the option of singing or passing. If the singer was correct, they won. Singer was wrong, the other one won. Winner advances to final countdown. CMT version, Peterman will give a year and artist, but not the name of the song yet. Then the contestant in the lead was given the chance to play it or pass it, and then they would give the name of the song. This was the head-to-head final round to determine our winner. I thought it sucked. Every single time I saw it, it never felt exciting, because most of the time people failed. So I never really was like, oh, wow, that's great. They knew, hey, now you're an all-star, get your game on, go play. Hey, now you're a rock star, get the show on, get paid. Because all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold. It just becomes yuck. But whoever wins goes on to the bonus round, the big final round of the Singing Bee, which is an actually okay round called the final countdown. Do 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 do. Get it? Because it's a song title. You guys remember Europe from the 80s? Europe from the 80s? The final countdown? Anyway, so. Similar to round one, the contestant knew nothing about the song, artist, title, year. So they had to use the lyrics to win the money. For each song lyric that was sung correctly, they got $5,000. If they got incorrect, they get a strike. Three strikes and the game is over. But if at any point they got five right, then they win $50,000. So that becomes a game of you get money before getting a strike, you win. It's kind of like a golden medley kind of round. It's beginning of season two. The winning contestant also returned as the defending champion on the next show against three new challengers. On the CMT version, correctly guessing a song earned $500. Wow. And getting five right means you won $10,000. Game show minimum. Game show minimum. 10 grand on CMT. So they also changed it to an hour-long show in each game. Six players were picketed from the audience to play round one. First three to complete a lyric, five in round two. Season two advanced. The three players then competed in round two game. Play continued, including a tiebreaker if needed. In season two, three rounds were played until three contestants were eliminated. The two survivors of the qualifying games would play chorus. The last player standing played final countdown. Then there'll be $500 guess the song bonuses, which no thank you. So yeah, that becomes the Singing Bee. Now, Singing Bee is more casual than Don't Forget the Lyrics. It's played for laughs. You don't have to sing it well, you just have to sing it right, much like Don't Forget the Lyrics. A lot of times the contestants would get it wrong. That would be a large part of the song. So, well, Don't Forget the Lyrics was like fifth grader, and they stretched out for time. The Singing Bee was played very, very fast, almost really fast. Like, they would go through maybe 20 songs an episode, where it becomes more about the frequency of the songs versus Don't Forget the Lyrics, where it's just one song and the judgment. So it's two different parallels. It basically much like a game show like Millionaire versus The Chase, which is more important, a speed game or a slow-paced game. That's the difference is between the two shows. Now, what I like about the Singing Bee, Joey Fatone was a good host. I think Joey Fatone is underrated as a game show host. This was right up his alley because NSYNC. He was very personable with contestants, and it was a fun-filled show. The issue I had with the Singing Bee is the challenges and the choruses. The beginning part is fun. The final part is fun, but everything in between sucked. And I think that's the big issue I had with Singing Bee. If the, like, with something like Beat Shazam, they go through different varieties of songs, obviously. They try their best to try and make it all around, which also was the same with Beat Shazam and Singing Bee. Except for CMT, because obviously everything is country music. But that's the difference, is genre versus just going straight to the song. I think the issue is that because the rounds were all scatteredly different and there was quote-unquote variety with the challenges, it never really made me feel like I understood what the game was all about. If it was just the Singing Bee, which was round one, which I always thought was called the Singing Bee, then that's fine. The final countdown is just the Singing Bee, but for money. Makes sense. So why not just make the Singing Bee the actual game show? That was always my frustration with the Singing Bee. Is because it's so silly and fun. You don't have to pull from the audience if we already know it's pre-rehearsed. But what you could do is you could have very fun challenges involved. Like, you can make it like a... If I was doing the Singing Bee, I would make it a half-hour game show. And I would make it so it is kind of just a Singing Bee in all three rounds and then the final, which is the final countdown. So here's hi. Hi, it's me, Jordan. Hi. So here's what I would do. Just speaking. So you have four contestants at the start of the show. And you just do a Singing Bee. First three advance. But the catch is that each of the four performers already have, just to jinx it, a specialty song that they love. So we get to know them better in the course of this. So it becomes like a gimmick that it's a song that means the most to them. Instead of a get to know you, I have three kids, and whatever. No, it's, hey, let's get to know Tommy. Tommy is a big fan of the Beach Boys, so here's the Beach Boys. Everyone surfing USA. And then cut to, and everyone's gone surfing. And it's like, that's it, ding. See, he's good at music. Next one, here's an R&B guy. And then here, so everyone has their song that identifies with. And now it'll already get you to know these four contestants. And you play the Singing Bee. Then you get to round two, where there's three. And that's when you can actually make it kind of fun. You can make it so it is, we go down the line and have it be like the Singing Bee itself, but now everything is based on a category. So this is all decades. This is 90s music. This is 2000s music. This is all country music. Something like that to actually have some variety, but still keep the core format alive of, if you're right, you advance. If you're wrong, it's okay. And then it goes to the final one, which is the head-to-head round. And you just call it Sudden Death. And you just go into the song, you just go straight to the song. Here it is. If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. First to be wrong and the first to get it right wins. There is no bet. It just becomes a back-and-forth head-to-head showdown. That would be interesting. And then you get to, and we come back round four, it's the final countdown, they have a chance to win the cash prize, and you just move on from there. So, with the final countdown, I mean, you can easily say they got $1,000, and then play it exactly like they did. Five right, if they get each one, they get $50,000. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's okay. But why do they call it a final countdown if it's just seven songs? Personally, I think what they should have done for final countdown is, even though I love the three strikes before getting five right rule, and I think that should be it. It should, instead of be like each one's worth $5,000, this is your time to do a money ladder. Do a money ladder on this thing. Like, that's what I think is missing. $5,000 for the first. Second one's $10,000. Third is for $25,000. Fourth is for $50,000. And if you get five right, you get $100,000. But then you have to make the catch, because then you can actually have it be like, well, you have two strikes, and on this third song, you can walk away, or you can keep playing, like something like that. Now, if they just want to keep the pressure like off and just make it lighthearted, then maybe what they should do is, if this was a half-hour game show, and leave it as a half-hour game show, I would say make this worth new game like primetime game show minimum. New game show primetime minimum is $100,000. I know it's not really the case with things like The Chase or Holy Moly or The Wipeout gives away $25,000, but that's cable. If this is like primetime NBC or ABC or whatever, I'm going to say NBC. If NBC was to bring this show back, you do two half-hour games, and you make it for either you keep the game the same for $50,000 or you play it for $100,000, and you make it so each correct answer is worth a certain amount of money. And you just go like, well, the first is like you go $5,000 each, and then you just keep building it. If it's the first to five, like just play it that way. Like have them have like $5,000 at start. Like you won the show, you have $5,000. Then you have each one is worth $5,000 more. So then it's 10,000, 15, 20, 25, and then you can catapult it to $100,000. That way there is some sort of like big oomph at the end. It's the $100,000. Instead of just doubling it, just go straight to give it a clean game show cut before it leaps. It would be where I would direct the show to go. Also, I like the final countdown. I love the pressure of it, and it's finally the moment for the contestant. I think that's just the big issue with Singin' Bee. Was just that middle part. The first two parts, that big bonus round at the end, I enjoy. I love the beginning part a lot. They have different quirks, because this show has a group of singers, whereas Don't Forget the Lyrics does not. It has a house band. They both have house bands, but one house band has people singing the song. The other one does not. It has you singing the song the entire time. So Singin' Bee is a fun show. Can that show be rebooted? Absolutely. If it follows my direction, do two game show halves, kind of like they're doing for College Bowl. I think they will have a winner in that song. Why didn't they just pick that up? I have no idea. I really don't. But hey, it's a fine show. So now it comes to the final part of the Singin' Bee, Don't Forget the Lyrics game show. Which do I like more? Which wins the day? Because both have pros and cons. Singin' Bee is a speedy, fast game show filled with music and fun, and anybody can pick up and play. It is just figuring out the songs, and it's all mixed bag, and you don't have to sing it well, you just sing it right. It's lighthearted and fun and enjoyable. Don't Forget the Lyrics, it's big money drama with these iconic songs. But unlike the Singin' Bee, where they don't really care that much about the song because it's only going to be sung for maybe 30 seconds, here it could very well be like 2 minutes of a favorite song and then just 4 minutes of pondering five words. And if that's the correct lyrics, where on the Singin' Bee, those five words, they have already been sung, and that's wrong, and then someone else is going to sing it and sing it wrong, and then someone else is going to sing it and sing it of, and oh, you forgot to include the word of, because we don't tell you how many missing words there are. You just forgot to say of. For I'm your Venus, I'm your fire, at your desire. No, it's your desire. You're on fire. You're a fire. You're fired. No. So between the two hosts, Joey and Wayne, I like Wayne Brady more. I think Wayne Brady is a more personable host to people. He is easygoing. He knows when to play up dramatic moments and when to lighten the mood. Joey, on the other hand, is a default game show host. I mean, he does Common Knowledge on Game Show Network, and he does a good job on that show as well. I think when we're going to look back in the time of history and we look at game show hosts, I think Joey Fatone will be considered an underrated. I hate to say the term underrated because I think that is meaningless, but he's a game show host. I think Joey Fatone, the game show host, is there, and we kind of ignore that. And I think the Singing Bee showed up his skill set. I think Common Knowledge shows up his skill set. But between the two in hosting, Wayne Brady. Between the two formats, Singing Bee and Don't Forget the Lyrics, I like Singing Bee more because Singing Bee is bookended, whereas Don't Forget the Lyrics is not. It's much like Millionaire, where you can falter from that, oh, we're out of time. Guess you're going to have to be back next time for new Don't Forget the Lyrics. And I keep telling you, I love when a game show is bookended. There's a beginning, a middle, an end. We can package it and move on. Singing Bee does that. There is no, like, oh, well, we're just finished. We'll find out who wins next time on Singing Bee. No, you know the rounds. It becomes fun. So every segment has its spot. So between the two, I like the Singing Bee as a better format. However, that's because it's bookended. The game itself, I like Don't Forget the Lyrics more. But if I was to pick between Singing Bee and Don't Forget the Lyrics, I would pick Don't Forget the Lyrics because that one has a better gameplay. That one has a fun, dramatic beat. As a viewing audience, I would pick that over Singing Bee. If I was a contestant, I would do probably better on Don't Forget the Lyrics than Singing Bee. And finally, which show would I rather watch? Between the two, Singing Bee and Don't Forget the Lyrics, it's going to be Don't Forget the Lyrics. I know Singing Bee is just a much fun show, but I got to go Don't Forget the Lyrics. If there's a way to book in Don't Forget the Lyrics and not make it as shitty as the syndicated run, we're in shape. Because the CMT version with Melissa Peterman was very cheap. $10,000, $500. It's fine for what it is. It was the Singing Bee. They kept the show kind of like it was, but it was rough. If they could have made it $25,000, if they could have made it $50,000, but made really tough songs, something. Because that $10,000 was just awful. Just rough. But it's okay. You couldn't do $2,000 and then it goes to $10,000 or $20,000. You couldn't do $1,000 per correct song, and then if you get five right, it's $25,000. Couldn't have done that. That would have made more sense for that. But no. If you're doing cable network Singing Bee, you would do it like my pitch, but make $1,000 per song and $25,000 is the top prize. There's no shame in that because it's still game show minimum, but it's a little upscale with $25,000. And on a bad day, someone won $2,000, which is not that big of a deal. So I get so confused between these two formats. Because Don't Forget the Lyrics, I love, but there's no bookend. Singing Bee, I love the beginning and end part, but not the middle. If there was a way to kind of blend the two, which is impossible, I would have loved that the most. When I was doing the idea for this show, I was thinking Singing Bee was going to come up on top. Personally, because I think that has the more variety of games. It's not stretched out and more fun. However, after watching both of those shows again, a Wayne Brady episode and a Joey Fatone half hour, I kind of prefer Don't Forget the Lyrics. I think it's because the fact that the contestant sings more of the song versus Singin' Bee, where it's the performers performing, is what itched it over for Don't Forget the Lyrics. Because to me, I like a game show where the contestant is the star and you can take them on a journey. For Don't Forget the Lyrics, the contestant's the star. Their backup is their phone a friend. The two words and the three are just kind of there by the house, and you can easily cheat the system and pick three words and then do the two words and already have the guaranteed answer in play. But it's just kind of smart. It's basically like picking between a millionaire and like a quiz bowl. Like, it's tough. This is a tough decision. Honestly, I probably make the wrong decision by saying I prefer Don't Forget the Lyrics over Singin' Bee. But between the two, I would watch Don't Forget the Lyrics again over Singin' Bee. I think both have their chances to return to TV. If you told me which one of these shows do you think is going to get rebooted first, I would have said Singin' Bee over Don't Forget the Lyrics, because NBC is scrambling for game show formats. And they're probably seeing what's going on Fox and wanting their own guessing game. But Fox has Don't Forget the Lyrics in their arsenal, and they love guessing games and singing shows, so maybe it's a comedic round. I don't know what this future holds for Don't Forget the Lyrics. I hope it's a good reboot. But Singin' Bee, I think, has a really good final round. Just the final countdown is just a very fun final round. The three strikes thing is fun. I just wish there was some more oomph instead of just these mini games. Singin' Bee feels like a classic game show more than Don't Forget the Lyrics, but Don't Forget the Lyrics feels more modern than Singin' Bee. But both have their strengths and weaknesses. And I always love a singing show that focuses on music and focuses on lyrics. And I think between the two, I think I would prefer Don't Forget the Lyrics more than the Singin' Bee. Because if I was a composer of a song, if I was a musician, and I had a top 40 hit on Billboard, and on Singin' Bee, it was just seen as like, someone screwed up my song, and then we moved on. Okay. But if it was Don't Forget the Lyrics, there could be a moment where there's a beat in the game and there's a story mode where between the two songs, someone could give a story about how, well, that's my wedding song. When I got married, me and my wife danced to that song, so I have to pick that song. Or right before I graduated high school, I picked that song. That was my favorite song. I want that song. Or when my mom died, I got very sad, and I listened to this in my car for an hour after the funeral. It really it made me feel like she's still with me, so I have to pick that for her. Something like that is more likely to happen on Don't Forget the Lyrics. And I know a lot of people hate that because sob stories don't really make this show, but there's a difference between a sob story and an emotional beat. I think a lot of people in the fandom don't do that because maybe they don't have emotional ties and they don't really have their head in check. So when there's a sob story, it's always at the start of a game show or always at a questionable part of the show. So we have to add some stakes to the game. What would 25,000 mean to you? What would 100,000 mean to you? What would this happen? Oh, our house burnt down. We need the money. Okay, well, that's a sob story. That's something different. That's supposed to be a you root for them because their house burnt down. You don't want to see bad things happen to them. Okay? An emotional beat is not choreographed. It's not something the producers thought to include in the game. It is why game shows are technically unscripted. Now, the game shows are scripted. There's a teleprompter. There's rulings and stuff. We'll be right back. But if someone starts crying or starts tearing up or hands covering their face, the host should go off script and go, so what's bothering you? What's going on? because that's going to lead them to that emotional beat. Now, an emotional beat to me means so much in game shows. I think that is something that I love about game shows, is showing people being people, humanizing this. A lot of people don't see that because they think the same thing as reality television, or it's scripted, or it's fake, or whatever. But when something happens in a game show that goes a little off script, or someone is really feeling some question because it has an emotional tie to their personal life, that's when you have a winner. And on Singing Bee, that will never happen. Because unless it's the final countdown and someone says a singer in the song and someone cries, they can stop maybe for like 30 seconds. But on Don't Forget the Lyrics, that can fill up 5 minutes and they will be happy to have that, because that's an emotional beat that makes you feel sorry for the contestant and want to see them win because, oh, this is heartfelt because this is their wedding song, or this is the song that when they broke up or they felt bad. This something. It could work. So ultimately, if I was to push a show forward, it would be Don't Forget the Lyrics over the Singing Bee. I know the Phantom would probably say otherwise because it's more bookended, and that's always something I push. But between the two, my choice is Don't Forget the Lyrics. So I'll give the Niecy Nash version a try. I hope it's great. I hope it's fun. But I have my issues. I don't know if it'll work. I think it'll be too slow. There's no bookend. It's just going to be like Millionaire. Maybe there's Niecy Sings. I don't know. But I'll give it a try. I do recommend watching both shows. They're both good shows. But between the two, Don't Forget the Lyrics is my pick. Just don't watch syndicated and don't watch the CMT version unless you love country music. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time for another great game show, or plural game shows, I suppose. Until next time, big smooch. Mwah!